219 to talk. Yeah, you running your mouth. Yeah, you running your mouth. 219 to talk. 219. Yeah, you running your mouth. Yeah, you running your mouth.
I was hollering all through. I know y'all heard me. Hollering all through. Listen, let me bring Honest on in. Honest.
Yes, ma'am.
Did you hear me Did you hear me all in that intro?
No, I missed that.
Oh. Yeah, I was over here just loud, realized that I was not muted. I said, look at that. I am. live at 7.
Yes, ma'am. 7
so come on,
Honest. Here we are.
Come on, Honest. How has your day been? Well, listen, because you know we're going to get into Thanksgiving, holidays, all of that good stuff with today. How has your day been?
My day has been blessed. Regardless of what I'm going through, my declare blessings and favor from the Lord. Just sitting here promoting my businesses, trying to make it do what it do. But all in all, today was a blessed day.
Listen, since you're talking about promoting your business, we got time. Let's talk about your business. Tell us what you do.
Well, I am a logistical specialist, a.k.a. dispatcher, truck dispatcher. So now I have moved from truck dispatching, which, you know, that I'm still doing that. But I'm teaching. I'm instructing. I'm giving classes now. So I'm trying to just out here trying to put it out here, you know, to start training some people. So when the industry becomes more open, you know, the supply chain situation we got, and it becomes more open, that people can recognize that this is an area that you can get into for very little money, be very productive. You put the work in and it'll work for you. So that's what I'm doing. And then, you know, tax season is coming up. I'm just, you know, I'm just trying to make, you know, kick in an entrepreneurial spirit. Somebody told me, you know, that God was going to make a way for me, and I believe this person who said it. And but I know that faith without works is dead, so I'm telling you, I'm working my faith. I'm working.
Come on now. I know that's right. I just, hey, and if you, what that song says, sometimes you have to encourage yourself.
Let me tell you what I found on YouTube that has truly blessed me. And you know, we talk about prayer and meditation. I come across this, it's called Prayer Meditation on YouTube, and it comes across, you know, it's just got some meditations for you to go to sleep, meditations when you wake up in the morning, some meditations to listen to during the day. And one thing that was said, it said that when we pray, you know, don't pray for an hour. Pray for 5 minutes and then see what God got to say, you know.
Ooh,
we go to him,
on.
You know, it's just like, I'm coming to you, I'm asking for your advice, but I'm talking so much till you can't say nothing. you know, you're just listening to me. You never get a chance to say anything. But, you know, if we listen and truly hear what God has to say and what does that entail, that's turning off the TV, turning off the music, and just sitting quietly waiting on God to say something. You know,
amen.
God, I'm here. I'm here. You know, what do you have to tell me today? What directions do you have for me today? I'm listening. And just sit there and be quiet, you know. Sometimes mm-hmm. we misstep. We ask God to lead, guide, and direct our path, but we misstep because we don't talk too much. You know, mm-hmm. when they say talk once, listen twice. So,
Come on.
So that's, you know, that's what I'm just in that place where, you know, hey, I'm listening. You know, I'm here. I'm here. I'm available. Talk to me. What you guys say? And I did that today, and I'm learning to do that more often, is mm-hmm. to turn everything off and just, you know, maybe like have a little bit of, you know, smooth listening music going. And sometimes I just sit here in silence, you know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So how's things going for you on this holiday season that we have upon us?
It's going good. You know, I being a leader, you know, being a leader is, you know, God talks to you a lot and God shows you a lot of different things. And sometimes, what's up, JD?
Hey, what's going on, y'all?
Welcome,
up, JD.
Talking about our day. Just today, I had to work overnight last night, and which was a first for me in a long time. And so when I came home, I fell out, you know. And then God was dealing with me a lot with the different things that he wants me to do, you know. And sometimes I get bombarded with thoughts because the enemy, when God is telling you things to do and giving you instruction, the enemy likes to, like you said, you got to turn off the TV, you got to turn off the phone, you know, turn the ringer yeah. off and just allow God to just talk to you, make sense of some things in your life. So today for me has been one of those days. Rest, listening to the voice of God, what he wants me to do, where he wants me to go, who, and this is a major one, who he wants me to stop dealing with.
Come on,
God.
Man. Oh.
My God. Now, you know, when God gets to point out, folks, listen, because I'm going to tell you something that the Lord told me he was going to show me in this holiday season. He said he was going to show me who's for me, against me, and who's just dead weight. You know, they not for, against, they just dead weight. So that's where I am in my mind right now. Then I also dealing with people who don't respect the call on my life. They handle me in a very childish way. And I watch people, you know, I listen to people. I know who they are. You know,
mm-hmm.
he just, he'll give it an expiration date. You know, he'll give their presence in your life an expiration date, and you got to go ahead and let them go. What's going on? What's going on, Trina Wright?
Hey, what's going on, everybody? I'm just sitting back chilling. You know what I'm saying? Just got back on. You know, what's going on down in the dirty Houston?
The same thing. JT, I'm excited. I'm excited because
put that Christmas tree up.
Don't start on that Christmas tree. I have not gotten that spirit yet. I don't know where it is. I don't know if I dumped it out in the middle of the street. I don't know where it is.
You better get to listening to some Jingle Bells or some Night Before Christmas or something. Some Temptations, I mean, whatever. You ain't Christmas until you hear that Temptations song one time.
Oh, I like that Temptations. They could
That's when you know it's official Christmas.
All the rest of them. them, but they can play the Temptations 50-11 times till December 25th. You know, I'm good with that. Ain't nothing like no, this Temptation.
Have you put your... You hear that in my mind? You hear that? That's it. It's criminal, man. It's criminal time once you hear that.
Okay. Okay, so since you're getting on me about the tree, Ray, Onis, have y'all put a tree up yet?
I don't do Christmas like that.
Oh, boom. Boom.
I ain't even put up no tree. I'm never put up a tree.
No. That's a discussion probably for a whole nother Monday night, but no. I'm not into I don't believe in Christmas like that. Now, do I believe in the birth of Christ? Yes, I do. But as my apostle, wonderful Ryan, say, how am I gonna invite you to my birthday party and you come celebrate a little fat white man in a red suit?
A lot of people are not putting a tree up. A lot of people are, you know. And because people have begun to worship gifts and, you know, they make it all about gifts and all that kind of stuff.
Commercial. It's too commercialized.
Well, you have to understand
that part,
but,
we don't celebrate. I truly celebrate the birth of Christ because without him, you know, without his birth, there would be no death in order to save us, you know. So he had to come. We have to celebrate, you know, the Savior.
Well, we have to understand that.
But
Christmas,
I don't do Santa Claus.
Yeah, Christmas has become a commerce holiday, you know, a capitalism type holiday. It's you know, it's retailers that stock up the whole year just for Christmas. You know, they know that that's going to be their big season because, let's just be honest, we'll celebrate Christmas by going broke for people that we don't even really care about. And ain't gonna do nothing for us no how. So we'll end up going in debt for nothing to start the year off messed up.
And what my mama say, you got to eat tomorrow. So many people depressed. Oh, they got anxiety. Some of them won't show up at the family gathering because they don't have no gift at hand, you know.
Yeah.
And I used to be like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, a lot of people are like that. And that's sad. That's not what the birth of Christ is about. He came to give. You understand? So if we're celebrating the true meaning of Christmas, I can't show up at your house because, you know, hey, it was a rough year for me and I don't have anything to give but love.
Exactly.
And a potato pie. That's all I have.
Let's just be honest. Some of these families need some discussions and some forgiveness ceremonies anyway instead of passing out gifts. They need to pass out apologies.
Okay, how you feel about it, right?
Well, society has gotten stuck on buying gifts. Everybody got to have a gift because I know somebody that makes sure that my kids got to have 20 and 50 presents apiece. That's the problem right there. So, and then some of these people get gifts and they're not appreciative. They don't really like the fact, you know, like for an example, I know this lady, her son, she bought her son all kind of clothes and, you know, big gifts and stuff, and then after a day, you know, the day of or the day after Christmas, he tells her, "Mama, I love you and I love everything you do for me, but I don't like none of them clothes you bought me because nobody else wear those clothes." I told him I would have took them clothes back, and he wouldn't have got nothing, and he'd have to wear what he had last year.
Butt naked with a squeezy.
Hold on a minute.
You know, I with my mom, tell y'all the truth, we came up in a household with 8 children. Okay, you were getting a Bible, you were getting some board games, you were getting some underwear, You wouldn't get nothing expensive. That's not, we didn't experience that type of, you know, you was going to read the word of God. You you was going to read some scriptures. Yes, for Christmas. That's what you was going to do. I remember one Christmas now, they did go out and get us some gifts or whatever, you know, because I guess my daddy really stressed that he wanted to get us some gifts. But the other Christmases, I remember my mama rolled in a huge box. I'm thinking we got some toys in there. We got all this. It was socks and underwear. She had did that whole layaway at Kmart. And when she rolled that
box. Hey, the blue light special. Then what about the blue light special, man? Yeah, yeah, the blue light special at Kmart. Look, we wanted to build a blue light special. That blue light went off. You went over there and got you some drawers for $1.
Huh.
And bang off. 50 cent underwear. Yeah, 50 cent socks. Yeah, you stock up when that blue light go off.
Yeah.
If you want some clean drawers, you better run over there.
Well, I
hope they got
this
size.
My mama didn't play. Listen. She came, when I say she rolled a box in there that was big enough for a refrigerator to fit in, my God.
Yeah.
I said she was serious about these underwear. Because when you got 8 kids, you ain't out there trying to buy expensive stuff. You got to get something. Look, and then my dad is sitting there looking. So I figured it out when I got older. He had gave her money to get Christmas gifts. He had no idea she was going to go and get nothing but underwear and socks. He just, yeah. You know, and they weren't going to argue in front of us, so. So
well, one thing you can say about that is they didn't go to waste.
Exactly.
They didn't.
Hey, I'm here to tell you, ain't nothing like new socks and drawers. You feel, your whole body feel brand new when you put on new socks and drawers.
Oh, my God.
Oh, oh man.
All the time.
That's a blessed day, man.
Huh?
Somebody asked me the other day.
You got a whole different strut when you got a new pair of drawers on and some new socks.
What you say, Ray?
Somebody asked me the other day, "What you want for Christmas?" I said, "You can bring me some socks and a T-shirt and underwear. I don't care nothing about it. I don't need nothing special. Just bring me some underwear and some socks and some T-shirts. I'm with it."
Well, let's be honest. Go ahead, Onis.
Based upon what we've gone through, let's just say the past 2 years, what is really important to you? Life should be so much more than a Christmas gift at this point in time. You know, we possibly could be facing another crisis, you know, bigger than the last two, you know, that we've been through. So, I mean, diamonds and pearls, you know, they'd be nice to have. All the nice stuff would be nice to have. But what is more important to you? Life.
Them vaccination cards.
Love. Health.
The vaccination cards is important as well. I need to see your vaccination card.
I agree with the booster on it. Okay, JD. I agree with you on this. You know, I think that COVID, coupled with some other things, have brought a lot of people, a lot of adults, let me say adults, to a different place in their heart and their mind when it comes to the holidays. Most people are thinking more about like in New York and places like that, they were really quarantined, you know. So this is like the first, like Thanksgiving and Christmas, the first time they get to see some of their family members face-to-face, you know. So I agree, you know. It's just we need to really, like Glory said in the 7-Up program, grow up. We really need to really grow up and really you know, focus on what this life is really about. You know, we take for granted relationships with our elders, with our grandmothers and our grandfathers. We take for granted our relationships with our children. We take for granted all of these different things, you know. So for the holidays. Why don't people get back to family and how you doing and what's going on in your life? And you know what I'm saying? Really checking in on one another.
You know what? People have gotten away from that anyway, because more people are prone to meet for a funeral than they are for a family reunion.
Tell the truth.
Tell the truth.
And that's bad. Yeah. And that's bad because people get together all the time. As soon as something happens, somebody die, everybody want to come around. But the whole time they've been living, won't nobody even show up, don't nobody want to visit. Most of them don't even call.
You're right. I gave my oldest sister, we gave her a 70th birthday party. And we stressed, you know, the family coming. Let's make this a family reunion. Everybody had an excuse.
Oh, my goodness. Right. I know about that.
We told them two, three months in advance. And it's not like they had no long way to go. They was just coming from Dallas. Some had to come from Pampa, Amarillo, 8 hours, you know. Not a long. Hey, come for the weekend. You know, let's celebrate the oldest, you know, cousin in the family, you know. But let somebody die, just like you say. You know, they'll book a ticket, you know, pawn stuff, everything else to come to a funeral. And I don't understand. I really don't. Love me while I live.
A lot of people ain't at the funeral, though, on this further. They there to show off. They there to show, talk about how their kids made it. They there to look at other people and see how low they've got. You know, it's people got motives behind some of the stuff that they do. And just like you was talking about your sister's birthday party, I just went through this whole amazing time in my life and ministry and all of that, and none of my family showed up. You know, my daughter showed up, none of my family, you know. And sad. It was just really, really sad, you know, that we as a community and culture are like that, like Ray say. Oh, but if somebody dies, oh, they pulling out their best clothes, you know, they finna rent a car because they finna look. I don't know.
Now, when they come to visit for that funeral, most of them come to see what they can get.
Oh my God, don't take me there. They look. When I went through being a widow, my cousin, I ain't going to call him out, I ain't going to say his name, was waiting there to ask me for some of the insurance money. Somebody else turned around and asked me for $500, you know, stuck around for a couple of days till it looked like I wasn't going to cry no more, and then asked me for $500.
What?
Then the house was empty, you know. And, you know, when the real grieving happened, the house empty, you can't find nobody, everybody busy, you know, but everybody want to tell you what to do with insurance money. That's why, look, I'm telling you, you know,
let me tell you something. That's why my wife will tell you, Ray and Onis. I'll be on Facebook and I'll see somebody and I'll be like, oh yeah, that's my cousin. My wife be like, I ain't never met them. I said, you ain't gonna meet them because I don't fool with them riding or walking. Look here, let me tell you something about family. They the closest one to you and they the quickest one to get you. Mm-hmm. So it's something that I feed with a long handled spoon. I see them seldom and never. Only two times I want to see them, seldom and never.
Okay, I'm going to switch up this topic, okay? All right, Onis, you know, I've been waiting since I got off the phone with you earlier. We wanted to talk about a certain topic, so go ahead, get us started.
Well, you know... As me as and I assume, which I probably should never assume, that every other person of color in America has been looking at the news and the verdict that came down last week, guilty. But what was more shocking to me, more than anything, was when they played out the video in court of Ahmaud Arbery, how they basically murdered a young black man in the street because, as the prosecutor said, he was a black man running through a white neighborhood.
Wow.
Well, hold on. You forgot the part about the white lady saying that he had on khaki shorts, no socks, and tennis shoes covering up his long toenails.
His dirty, she said.
Long, dirty toenails.
But in addition to that, every defender, and I know once you take on a case, you do have to defend this person to the best of your ability. They actually believed that these men were innocent.
Yeah, within their rights.
One even had a problem with Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson sitting out in the audience.
Oh yeah, yeah, and look, when they did that, a hundred and some black ministers showed up the next day.
Yeah, since you got a problem with these two, yeah, let's just flood this. Show up completely. But my thing was 11 white jurors and one black one.
Yep. Mm.
Do you honestly believe that they gave that verdict because, number one, they believed it?
Mm.
Or they were just trying to hold down racial unrest? That is
the
question.
To be honest with you, honest, I don't care why they did it, as long as they did it. Let me tell you why I say that. Because it's time for white folks to get scared of us. We've been too timid. All that marching ain't got us nothing but beat up.
Oh, no.
All that marching and singing and we shall overcome. Look here. It ain't got us nothing but beat up and misused. So I hope they scared of us now. To a certain extent. I don't want to be so scared they're gunning us down, though, the laws. But I'm just saying, they need to be kind of fearful of what the repercussions will be for messing over black folks.
Well, and I hear you, but the reason I ask the question is I ask it. Because if you truly believe they were guilty, okay, that's fine, because we knew they were guilty. But if the defender did not believe they were guilty, or he was just defending his client, or he, you know, let's just say for woo-hoo reasons, he did not present his case in a manner that they could have found them guilty. Either you found them guilty or you were just avoiding racial unrest, because the next time, the next jury may not care about social unrest.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to let their true colors show, find them not guilty. We know that Zimmerman was guilty in the case of Trayvon Martin.
Right.
And they found him innocent in the court of law, but his life has gone downhill ever since.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's true. Yeah.
He may work it.
That's because we serve a mighty God who fights our battles for us.
But
that's
everybody... Honestly, everybody needs to get prepared for what's about to happen, because I'm going to tell you something. With that guilty verdict on that case, those were not the only guys in their neighborhood that's prejudiced. Okay? They think they saw an uprising when everything happened with George Floyd and you know, a couple other things. But I'm telling you right now, them folks, they seem they watching these white men go to jail. Come on. And they white men that said, oh, why was he able to call these other white men? Yeah, he running, man. And they get in their trucks. Come on. It has to be something. It has to be some type of confidence behind that, you know, because if this wasn't already happening, the other guy would have been like, man, I don't know. You know, they would have been more thinking about their families or whatever. But this is
their white neighborhood got a mob mentality.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, their white neighborhood got a mob mentality. So
they show Ahmaud on camera. Basically, I mean, you know, he might have just want to been going in there looking at how they was building the house. Oh, this is nice. Oh, look at the progress that they made on this house. He wasn't doing anything. He wasn't bothering anything. As the other people who were going in the house and the man who owned the house said, he never took nothing. He never disturbed nothing. He just probably a point of rest and to run off.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. But you know what? But let's look at, too, the fact that they said many people had walked in their house.
Yes, ma'am.
Many had walked in their house. I promise you, that day that he walked in that house, them white men were already on a whole wave.
Yes.
They were already in a mindset. Because there's no way you could see that. Because he said, we saw him on the camera. But you saw other people on the camera that you didn't chase down. You know?
That's right.
It's like I always tell James, when people come talking to you and they already hype and got an attitude, it's because that's the continuation of a conversation they were already having. When somebody come and they going at you, that's what they were talking about with somebody else, you know. So what he ran into, it was during the time where they were already saying we don't like what's going on. They probably were talking about a conversation with George Floyd, all of that, because that man stood there. He stood there and talked to the police with all that blood all over his hands, like it wasn't nothing.
Oh my God!
Like he had killed a chicken or something. Like his son had just shot a dog in the street. He was standing there like it wasn't no big deal.
With this boy's blood all
over
his
hands.
Yep.
All over him. That was chilling. Do you know how chilling that is?
I'm telling you.
But the whole semblance of it, his blood is on your hand.
Yeah. And we have to really.
That thought never caught thought. And who was looking at that to say he just scratching his head and, you know, just doing whatever. He ain't even thought about this boy's blood is all over him.
Let me tell you. You know, honest. My father used to hunt deer, right? He hunt deer, and when they finished hunting deer, they'd be at the back of the house around the smokehouse. They'd be getting ready to clean the deer, right? Gut the deer, all this kind of stuff, and the conversations that hunters have, let me say that, the conversations that hunters have, they talk about how the deer ran, right? They talk about how the deer thought that he was gone, you know? We saw him run up through there, and so we went around the back, you know? When they were talking about this young man, that's how they talked about him, like they were hunting
him. Yeah.
They talked about, oh, he ran around. He ran through the houses. He ran through the neighborhood. But we got him. We got him. We came up the street, you know?
Yeah.
I was like, wow. I said, if we can't really see what that is, then we in trouble, you know? If we don't really see what really happened right there, they thought because that, just like slavery, and just like when somebody fled or they said there was a runaway slave, that's how they did them.
Get everybody suited up. Get your guns, your nets, whatever. Your horse,
yeah.
Saddle up your horses. We're going hunting.
I'm gonna say it like they say it. We gonna hang a nigga today. That's what they say.
That's it.
And we gonna hang him where everybody could understand. Could see what happens to a runaway.
So what do you think about the guy that actually took the video? Because his video was, they didn't show it all on TV. What I watched was 48 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And they got a little bit more in depth, showing what actually happened on this video. This man sat there with the video, with his phone.
And
he watched this man shoot this boy three times.
But that's what I'm telling you. That's what hunters do. These men, I promise you, if they go really thoroughly into their background, you'll find out that they have played them games where they hunt, where man video this, man record this, this right here, He didn't stand there when that man was talking. He wasn't standing there like he had killed somebody. He wasn't shaking. He wasn't second guessing himself. When he left out his house, he left out him and his son. They left out to shoot him. They left out to kill him.
And the other man, I just for you to sit there with your camera and film this man being killed, and then make him out to be a monster, to make this young man out to be a monster, and he's running for his life.
Yeah.
Well, let's just understand that the one who was filming also cut him off with his truck so he couldn't run the other way.
Wow, come on. Lord have mercy.
Y'all didn't hear that part?
Yeah, I remember that.
Cut him off. He cut him off and redirected him so he couldn't run the opposite direction.
Sure.
That's why
he's
being charged with murder too, because he was a participant.
Yeah. Makes you wonder who else they called who didn't show up.
My Lord.
Right.
My Lord.
But you know what? He actually thought at the time with the Georgia law, what was the law? Citizens arrest.
He felt confident.
He was going to get away with it.
Because they let him get away. He probably got away with it before. Because he knew,
he knows everybody.
He
had military and law enforcement
The son was ex-Coast Guard, and the father was ex-police.
Wow.
Yeah, but the daddy, I was reading about the daddy, right? The daddy had been disciplined about 11 times in the last 8 years.
What?
Of his career. Yeah, they done took his gun and his badge from him before and put him on desk duty several times.
Wow.
Before he finally just went on to retire.
Wow.
But he been called out several times for aggressive behavior and excessive force while he was performing his duties as a police officer.
Wow.
So he stayed in trouble already.
So they
just kept him on the force until he finally went on to retire with his pension.
But they call him them good old boys. It's them good old boys.
And look, the guy who the district attorney who brought the charges up on him was the fourth district attorney that they assigned to that thing, right?
Because
the first one, the police officer, he wasn't going to even arrest nobody because him and the police officer were good buddies.
Mm.
Then he removed himself, and then somebody else came in, And then they put a little pressure on her. She took herself off of it. Then somebody hit it.
Yeah.
That was the fourth district attorney before they brought charges up. And the only reason the charges was brought up 90-something days later was because the video leaked.
Mm.
If that video had leaked, we'd have never heard about this case.
Mm. Lord have mercy.
We're talking about almost 4 months had to pass before they made an arrest.
Wow.
Mm.
I think it was 96 or 97 days to pass.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And like I said, the only reason they brought up charges because that video came out. There was so much pressure from the outside public to bring charges up on them. That's why that fourth district attorney finally went ahead and charged them people and arrested them.
Can we just flat out say that he almost got away with it? Can we just seriously flat out say that with the neighborhood that he lived in and all the people he was connected to, he almost got away with it?
If that video hadn't come out and went public and went viral, he would have got away with it. Nobody would ever got arrested for that.
They finna get whooped now.
He's just been another dead 25-year-old black boy got killed.
They're probably looking all calm and stuff, but I tell you what, I know on the inside, they see, like the other little 18-year-old, he let all his emotions show. They didn't let any emotions show, but I know the insides had to have been jelly.
Them dudes watch the news just like anybody else. They wait on
they're
arresting at the gate.
Mm-hmm. Lord have mercy.
Just like the one that
they're going to get recruited, though, so they get in there. They're going to get recruited, so it don't matter.
Yeah, they're going to Aryan Nation.
Yep, they're going to protect them when they walk in the
Aryan Nation and protect
them. Come on, buddy, you kill one of them jigaboos. Come on over here with us, buddy.
You kill one of them. Yeah, what they going to do?
One of them jigaboos. Come on over here.
Don't cut their hair on out.
You know, I think this is my thing about, and I don't know if y'all talked about this before, but if blacks are going to stick together, they need to stick together all the time and need to protest a lot of things, because I don't know if y'all heard about the incident with the guy, the guy that raped four teenagers and got the 8 years probation.
No.
It's a white guy. His name is, it was on the news. His name is, he's from Lewiston, New York. But he raped four teenagers and got 8 years probation.
Lord have mercy.
The judge gave him 8 years probation.
Lord have mercy.
But see, that's my thing about protest. If y'all going to protest something, they should be protesting that, because if that was a black guy that raped four teenagers, they'd have had his head. He's already been on court. He's already been going to jail. He'd have been in jail waiting trial, and they'd have been trying to hang him already. But this white boy, because they said he was connected. His mom and daddy got money.
Mm-mm.
So they felt that, you know, with him having money, the judge even made a comment. The judge said, matter of fact, let me read his statement. The judge said, through treatment and reflection, I've come to feel deep shame and regret for my – no, not him, my bad. He made a comment about, he was talking about, he know that people are upset about what happened and how things happened, blah, 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 blah. But he feel that he shouldn't, it's not going to help him if he go to jail for these rapes, so I'm just going to give him 8 years probation.
Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, my Lord.
He raped 14 teenagers and got 8 years probation.
Jesus, be offensive. Oh,
but
my
now,
God.
Mind you, after this, ain't nobody opened their mouth. Ain't no black open their mouth, because even though it didn't happen to blacks, but see, the thing is, if a black had done it, it would have been a whole issue. It would have been all over the news every day. I've only heard about that issue like once or twice since it's been on the news. I ain't heard about it since. So I just pulled it up again online, though. I just pulled it up again online. All I typed in was, boy, get 8 years probation, and it popped right up. Wow. But he got 8 years probation for raping 4 teenagers.
Jesus.
Wow. He don't get no jail time. He gets nothing. He don't go. He got, you know, he got signed up as a sex offender and all that, but he was like, I agonize. I'm not ashamed to say that I actually prayed over what is appropriate sentence in this case, because there was great pain, there was great harm. There were multiple crimes committed in this case. Judge Murphy explained, it seems to me that a sentence that involves incarceration or partial incarceration isn't appropriate. So I am going to sentence you to probation.
My Lord. My Lord.
But you know what? He's exactly right, because look at Rittenhouse. The only reason that there wasn't a big mess behind that, or, you know, they had called the National Guardian, the men that he killed were white.
Yep.
You're right. But now look at this now. I just saw an article earlier that they trying to get the Supreme Court to re-give Bill Cosby his sentence, to reconvict him.
Yes.
What?
Yes.
Yep. They trying to get him. They trying to get the Supreme Court to issue back his, give him back his conviction. So this man did something years ago that you still 100% ain't proved. But you got this man that just committed four sexual crimes against the teenagers, against 4 teenagers, but you want to give him probation, but you're trying to pursue an issue about an old man that's 80-something, almost 90 years old. You're trying to get him back under his conviction because you felt it wasn't right. But ain't nobody saying nothing else about this white boy that kidnapped, that raped these teenagers. See, that's the kind of stuff I be looking at, because we sitting out here worried about this and that, but you trying to lock Bill Cosby back up, but you ain't worried about this white boy that just raped 4 teenagers. Bill Cosby was done years ago, and you still ain't got no proof of it. You just got people's word of mouth. That's really and truly hearsay. As he said, she said.
Well, everybody.
But
knows
here you got this guy that admitted, huh?
You know, everybody, look, them. And I'm gonna say it just like this: them white folks was after Bill Cosby anyway. Bill Cosby had too much money. And Bill Cosby stepped out of what the white folks was telling him to do. He stopped obeying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bill Cosby realized how much power he had, and so did them white people. And they said, no, sir. And they start coming out, what they say, with receipts. And look.
Oh, I tell you.
Do y'all recall what happened to cause this with Bill Cosby? Do y'all know what triggered all that with Bill Cosby?
He tried to get a TV show.
Well, no. Let me tell you what happened. The TV station, the broadcast network NBC, was going to sell itself. It was going to sell NBC.
Mm-hmm.
Bill Cosby came up with the money that they wanted to sell NBC. Soon as NBC found out Bill Cosby was about to buy them, they upped the price. And what happened was, when he upped the price, Bill Cosby went and got himself. I think he got Denzel, Spike Lee, I think Ice Cube, and a couple other black movie stars and stuff. He got all of them together, and they was going to buy NBC. They came up with the new price, and NBC took themselves off the market and said, never mind, we're not selling.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Right after that is when all the problems started happening for Bill Cosby. Do you understand that these white folks know what will happen if black people ever got control of a national broadcast station like ABC, CBS, or NBC?
It'll be called the New Black Channel.
Exactly, and can control the media that's put out and the perceptions of black folks that's put out, they can control it.
Yep.
Oh, no, the white folks not finna have that.
Yeah.
That's what prompted all that stuff with Bill Cosby. You have to understand something. Bill Cosby been making money since the Fat Albert Show.
Hey.
See, and the thing about the Fat Albert Show that a lot of people don't know is Bill Cosby made all the money off that show because Bill Cosby did everything on that show. He, yep. he voiced almost every character. He rarely had somebody else come in and do characters. All the artwork, everything was Bill Cosby's. Yeah, he made all the money off that show. And then you got to understand all the movies that Bill Cosby was in the 60s and 70s.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, all the,
see, when they realized he got
night,
he,
yeah, all
he
them,
had
all them,
they didn't like that.
Yeah. Bill, got, man, look here. Bill made some money in Hollywood, brother.
Yeah.
Not only had Bill had so many platinum albums, you know, comedy albums. Man, Bill has made some money, brother. And the white folks love Bill. And they was buying his stuff. But like my wife say, Bill got out of line and wasn't obeying no more.
Hey, but let's be real. Let's be real. They look, all this stuff that and see, this is why I pray for our black men, because R. Kelly, with all this stuff he was doing, the reason them folks didn't stop him, it was because of the money, but they also wanted something to hold it. They all, it's just like when you see them singers and these famous acts, you know, and they fall to drugs. Oh, they'll bring them the drugs. They'll bring them the girls. They'll bring them, Cadillac Records, where they paying them in cars. You know, and always a setup. That's why Oprah would tell people, you need to bring your own money. You need to know what's in your bank account. You need to know what's going out, what's coming in. You need to be careful about who you partner up with. But, hey, that glitz and glamour and fame and all that kind of stuff, you get in there and you happy they accepted you, and you done accepted all kinds of gifts and trinkets. And once you do a power move, here they come with all them receipts, with all that.
That is. Mm-hmm.
Yep. Gotta be careful.
I mean, like, look, yeah, a lot of people don't know this, but that's what happened with what's his name too? Tupac.
Mm-hmm.
Tupac didn't own nothing. His mama found it out after he died. Everything Tupac had, the record label actually owned it.
Wow.
Oh, that's a discussion for a whole nother day.
Yes,
you know, they talked about it in the 40s and the 50s, you know, how, was it Cadillac Records, how they did, you know,
mm-hmm.
black people's music. And then you come with the black-owned producers, directors, you know, music,
mm-hmm.
you know, moguls or whatever. And you turn around and do your own people like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's sad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Be making all that money, all them child stars that was in all, and then they turn around and the execs got all their money. When we watched about NWA, and that stuff that Q and all them was going through with the person that was, what was it? I don't even remember his name, but the way they was doing
Jerry
him, then Ice Cube had to say, hold up, where is my money?
You know, that is.
Stop playing with me.
Jerry
where is
Ellis.
My money? So, we got
that's right. He moved around. That's right.
Yeah. We got in a good conversation. We got like 5 minutes left in the show. I have enjoyed myself on the show today. Okay. So we're going to start with Onis. And Onis, go ahead and sign off for us tonight.
Truly enjoyed myself tonight. Peace and blessings, you know, to each and every one of you on this up-and-coming holiday season. Let's keep it real. Let's keep it true. As they say on the radio, let's keep it 100. I think we solved a lot of the world problems here tonight if they would have just been here to listen to us. But, you know, yet and still, we're going to keep put some prayer on it, and we're going to keep on looking to the Lord, you know, for health and guidance. And, you know, y'all have a great week. Look forward to seeing you back here next week. Peace and blessings.
All right,
Ray. Go ahead and sign out for us.
All right. This trainer Ray down the dirty ship, getting ready to start a new Black Panther movement. I'm just playing. But you know, but we needed it right here. But no, Ray down here in the dirty South, just trying to let y'all know to come on out and join us again at 219 to talk. Also join me on Saturdays at 2 o'clock. Every Saturday at 2 o'clock to talk about fitness. Any fitness question you may have or comment you may have, come see me, come talk to me on Saturdays at 2 o'clock. Y'all have a blessing.
All right, JD.
All right. It's your boy JD, JD the Barber, down here in South Park, Texas, home of the free and land of the brave, whatever they call it. But anyway, 219 to talk, man. We do dive into some conversations that will run off on us in a minute. But we gave out some good information, and it was a wonderful talk tonight. And I appreciate y'all tuning in, and hope to see y'all next week. Have a good week.
All right, this is Queenie, and I'm coming on in just a few minutes with 5926 Central. I enjoyed you all. Love you. Good night.
Good night. 219. 219 to talk. 219 to talk.